This is the Experience Points podcast for July 31st, 2013, and we hate everything.
And everyone.
Click.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast, and my name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Albor.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It's a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And generally, I'd say we're pretty nice.
We're all right. We're all right.
George has downgraded us to all right.
We're okay. Well, since last week, right? Last week, we talked about haters. So.
Yeah, we talked about assholes and the people who play their games. Dan Teasdale had some strong words about sci-fi and fantasy and, you know, shooty McShooter games and, you know, what strong personalities can do in the game industry. It just never ends. We shouldn't even... If we say his name three times, he'll appear, so maybe we shouldn't even say it.
Let's just say this the once, and then we can move on.
So remember how Phil Fish kind of, you know, had a blow up last week?
Oh, yeah. PF money. Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of like... That podcast was strangely prescient, because, you know, it kind of exploded after that. We won't take credit for it, but, you know.
But Fez 2 was canceled.
Because of us.
Let's take credit. See, that's what makes us assholes. There we go. That is why we are now in the we're all right scale.
We've been kind of thinking about this Dan Teasdale thing, and you know, people who say things that might not necessarily be popular, or they're kind of jerky about the things they like or don't like. And we've had every once in a while people will ask us to be a little bit harsh on something or like go on a rant. So we're going to take this opportunity in this show to talk about some of the things that we don't like that potentially most people do like.
Yeah, we'll try not to piss off too many people.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of this internet meme that goes around in forums and threads where someone states a very popular opinion, but they couch it like it's not a popular opinion, and then someone replies, "So brave."
Can you give me an example?
Oh, you know, like someone will be on Reddit or something, and they'll be like, "Oh, religion is the source of all corruption in the world," and you know, like it's like a faux controversial statement, right, you know. Right. And then someone will respond, "Oh, so brave." You know? So I'm gonna try not to make too many of those statements. You know.
Good. Well, then why don't you start us off?
Okay, let's see, where should I start? All right, I'll start off with this. So I was listening to Video Games Live the other day.
This is the orchestral version of often many of our video game soundtracks.
Yeah, I found on Spotify that there's some Video Game Live tracks up there. And there's, I mean, just, you know, classic tracks, Mega Man, Legend of Zelda, Halo, Civ, like, you know, just a bunch of different ones that are super popular. And also there was one of the most popular, well, maybe seemingly the most popular tracks, One Winged Angel by, I think it's called One Winged Angel. It's the Sephiroth song from the last boss of Final Fantasy VII.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I fucking hate that song.
Oh, Scott, what are you doing? It's a great song. I mean, all of the Final Fantasy is known historically for an excellent music.
I feel like there's no... So, I mean, what else is there in that song besides the operatic chorus saying, "Sephiroth," every once in a while? You know, like, what is the melody? What is the tune? Like, why is it like that? I feel like it's a contextual thing, not actually, like, as a piece of music, excellent, but, you
sure.
know...
Well, we should say neither of us are composers, so we're going to be talking out of our ass for the next 5 minutes.
But we know enough. So, like, we know enough to say historically games used to be more melody-driven when all you had is a few channels of sound and, you know, your sound files had to be, like, a couple kilobytes in size rather than, like, you know, the comparatively large, you know, MP3/CD quality style stuff that we have now.
Yeah, that's true. My question, though, is, isn't it legitimate to be into a song because of the context? Like, isn't that enough?
I guess, but I just, But then, see, then it sends me down this real dark path where, like, I don't think Sephiroth is that great of a character either.
See, this is the truth. This is, I think, the core of your dislike of that song. If that song were associated with, like, I don't know, like, Final Fantasy IX or something, right? Like, mm-hmm. something you love. Maybe you wouldn't have that feeling. But instead it's like, Sephiroth! You're like, oh, fucking Sephiroth again? Really?
Dude, I mean,
cut your hair.
Get a job.
Get a job, Sephiroth.
Stop trying to destroy the planet.
Stop having like 8 forms. Jeez.
Well, I mean, like, it's. I love Final Fantasy VII. And actually, Final Fantasy VII has some of my favorite video game music in it. But mm-hmm. it's, you know, Video Games Live doesn't do like the overworld music or kind of the sweep of. Like,
you want the like completely just back. Background music that's not associated with any climactic scenes. No.
I wrote a post about this one time, and I'm pretty sure Kirk Hamilton gave it the A-OK, which means that I was making sense.
Yeah, he's like the music specialist in the games community.
Yeah, if Kirk says, you know, Kirk, a for real life musician who has had, you know, successful musical gigs, says that okay, that post makes sense, then I feel pretty good about myself.
All right, well, so you're a hater on that, I guess.
I mean, it's just in comparison to the other Video Games Live things, like, it just doesn't hold a candle to, like, the Mega Man suite, you know?
Yeah. It's funny that you would even make fun of Video Games Live, because it's so, like, such a niche.
Yeah.
Like, orchestra music.
Yeah.
That's done for video games, and you, like, dislike it, because it's like, at that point, man, why even bother? Why even bother criticizing it?
I like where this episode's going already. Okay,
well, that's the thing. Like, all of these are just going to be just nerdy criticisms of just awful stuff. All right.
Yeah. Go. Okay, let's trade off.
All right. Well, you know, we've talked about this before, but I'm going to say, how about this one? Let's do the new Super Mario Brothers.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a big fan of the new Super Mario Brothers series.
Just period. Just.
And I think we've talked about this a lot. The biggest thing I dislike is its co-op.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, I mean, again, this is something that you and I are profoundly disagree on, I think.
No, yeah, we're going to go to our graves, like, disagreeing on this.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and we agree on a lot of stuff, but for some reason, like, you vehemently believe that it is incredibly well-designed co-op, and I think it's just rubbish for having the type of experience that I think they're trying to convey.
And well, I mean, it's a weird, like, it's like a savage, like, holdover from when Nintendo used to make really difficult games.
Yeah, that's true. But part of it is, you know what, maybe this is just a good podcast for, like, digging deeper into why, like, we have these, like, opinions. Uh-huh. But part of it is, like, I think that what I dislike is when the appealing and the approachable clashes mm-hmm. with, like, actually being, like, the visually appealing and visually approachable mm-hmm. clashes with the actually being approachable or actually being, like, easy to navigate. Like, that's just so cutthroat. The way that they do, like, hitbox spaces in terms of, like, where you can position yourself and the way that you can just mess with your friends in, like, brutal ways.
Yeah. I mean, there's no arguing with that. I mean, it is pulling the digital rug out from under you to look at these. And because, you know, Mario has only gotten more and more cutesy as time has progressed. And,
right.
You know, like, New Super Mario Brothers is kind of like the epitome of what Mario has become. And then it throws you back into this super, super difficult. Like, it's not really there to kind of mentor new players. Like, it's a sink or swim mentality.
Yeah. So maybe I think that, like, charming things shouldn't be difficult. Or I don't know. Maybe, like, just undermines everything. But it sends the wrong messages to me. And now that I'm saying it, it makes me feel like I'm really, like, conservative or something. Like, you really have to telegraph your difficulty or something. Yeah.
Well, I mean, for readability's sake, it is always. But, I mean, I think even that kind of. That's a whole subgenre. Like, cute but extremely difficult games are their own thing. Like, Spelunky or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, we'll get to Spelunky later.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
What?
Oh, jeez.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Let's see. Should I go for one?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh man, I want to say something about Chrono Cross, but that's really inside baseball.
All right.
Never mind. Okay,
you hate Chrono Cross.
No, I don't hate Chrono Cross. I just think the best thing about Chrono Cross, ultimately, from a historical perspective, Chrono Cross's biggest influence is going to be that one song that played in the intro.
I haven't played, gosh, Chrono Cross, years.
Yeah, but you will instantly remember the intro. Do you remember the intro cinematic with the very, like, has like a, gosh, what is it?
It's some kind of... Go ahead and just hum it for us.
No, I'm not going to, I'll
you're
drop
like
in.
A musical maestro.
I'll drop in a little bit right here, but you'll instantly remember it.
Okay.
So, okay, it has
it's
that...
it's beautiful, you're right, I remember... No,
it has the violins in it, the strings, the very, you know, the... I forget even what it's called, but that song has made Chrono Cross more popular than the game ever made it.
Oh, okay, all right.
Anyway, here's my real one. That's a cheater one. Here's okay. My real one. You know that game Johann Sebastian Joust?
Yes.
It always makes me really uncomfortable when people play it.
Why? That's like being like, I don't like it when I see kids playing tag in the streets.
Okay, but if it was kids, that would be one thing. But these are like grown-ass adults being just a little bit too rough and into it. You know what I'm saying?
Scott, for people who don't know what this is, because it's very hard to find this game and actually play it. What is Joust?
So you have PlayStation Move controllers because they have accelerometers in them and you have to hold them steady. And I don't even really know, I forget the rest of the rules, but you have to hold them steady for a certain amount of time. And it's kind of like a musical chairs vibe where you have to be still at a certain point and you lose if you're not still. So you're trying to knock the other person's hand around. To, like,
so if the accelerometer moves at a certain speed, then the color on your controller goes to red and you're out.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if the music speeds up, you're allowed to go faster and play a little bit more loose with the accelerometer. But then when it's its normal pace, then you're vulnerable. So the game is basically like, it's like, you could play it with a candle if you really wanted to.
Right, yeah, that's true.
And all you're trying to do is just basically snuff out everyone else's candle but yours.
Yeah. So yeah, so that sounds fun, right?
It is fun. I love Joust.
But it's one of those things where people get too into it and inevitably it gets uncomfortable for me because it's like, okay, do we really need to be kicking? Like, is this, you know, you're just scaring away. It's kind of like the whole sports thing, but now it's finally made its way into video games where it's like, you know, the whole like, you know, it's that one guy at the party that always takes the joke a little bit too far, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is something that happens with any competitive game, though, right? Like,
there's a difference between, like, someone who takes it a little bit too far in Street Fighter and just kills you over and over again with a combo, and someone who is actually doing physical harm to you.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, man. I've seen people, like, put each other in chokeholds over that game.
Yeah, it just kind of, I don't know, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth because it seems like something that should be accessible and, like, kind of a fun thing, but then just people have a tendency to just take it too far, I feel like.
The other thing, though, I think, is that you're playing with strangers, and inherently, when you play with strangers, you don't know where that line is.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you and I, we probably err on the safe side of, like, I don't really want to touch you at all. I also just generally don't like touching strangers, but, you know. When you're in that environment, especially when alcohol is in play.
Yes, yeah, sure.
It's very difficult, or rather, it's very easy to cross those lines.
Yeah. Okay. Again, it's kind of a weird thing, but like, I don't know. People are, oh, Joust is so great. It's like a communal experience. And it's like, oh, that's, I don't know. Like, a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's move on. I'll pick something next.
Yes,
how about, well, speaking of Spelunky, I don't think I like roguelikes.
Oh, man. You are living in a bad time then.
I really am. And it's, you know, this is Dark Souls. I tell people that game is not for me. And mm-hmm. I'm okay with that because Dark Souls of all roguelikes is particularly punishing. Well, mm-hmm. it's not really a roguelike, I guess, but it has roguelike veins running through it.
People have been seriously calling those types of games roguelike likes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, oh man, like I don't know, I can't stand it. I hate the idea of losing everything. and to be fair, like, I'll play it, right? I'll play Spelunky, it'll be fun, we'll like have a grand old time, but I never see myself in a position where I go, you know what I really want to play right now? A game where I can spend hours progressing through and building up a store of stuff to be proud of mm-hmm. and then lose it with one mistake.
What about something like The Binding of Isaac that's a lot more short-term? You know, there's only, I forget how many levels there are in Binding of Isaac, but there's very few, you know?
Well, let me ask you this. How many hours have you put into Binding of Isaac?
I don't want to tell people that.
Is it more than 30 hours?
I don't know, actually, because I played it on separate platforms and I don't think the Steam thing transferred over, but... Uh-huh. I mean, it could easily be that much, I would say. I don't know for sure, though.
I don't think I've even spent 4 hours in that game.
Mm.
It's a game that people play over and over and over again. I played it maybe, like, 8 to 10 times,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm done. Like, I just don't want to go back to that. It's so brutal.
How about Rogue Legacy? Have you played that yet?
Oh, I have not, no.
So it is a roguelike, but once you die, you can bequeath your money to the next generation.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and so like everyone talked about this at the time, but I think it was I believe it was John Teddy at Gameological Society wrote this really, really great review where he was explaining the difference of, like, you know, The Binding of Isaac, you know, it creates like a tension, like it creates, you know, desperate heroes, like you're scrapping for every single thing that you can find.
Mm-hmm.
And Rogue Legacy creates generational, like, generational accomplishments.
I could see that. The problem, I think, with me and roguelikes is also that I just generally don't have much hope for myself.
Mm.
Like, I start playing those games and I think, I'm not going to get much better at this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sort of just give up.
Mm.
But I think that's okay. Like, I don't, you know, there are times, I don't know, maybe it's okay for me to say, you know what, I want to feel good about myself sometimes when I'm playing a game. And roguelikes just, they don't tickle that.
Is that the same thing that, like, you know, again, you're living in a bad time because the whole app marketplace is really biased towards kind of arcade-style experiences where there's really no winning. You can just keep on playing.
Yeah, I hate those things.
Yeah. And so, but I mean, like, that is where mobile games have gone in the past 5 years, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people are playing Temple Run and all kinds of shitty running forever games.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are awful. I really dislike those.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the same, it's kind of the same deal. Like, it's, you're really, instead of striving for, well, I guess it depends on if you're the glasses half full type person, but instead of just striving for victory, you're just staving off defeat.
Right. Yeah. That is an inherently depressing scenario.
Yeah. Which is why, I mean, and then
it's the same reason I don't like Horde mode, right? That was sort of popularized by Gears of War and appears in various shooters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, and so, yeah, this sensibility has just permeated so many different games over the past few years. Like, it's everywhere.
Yeah, it really has. But at the same time, I think that there's some moving away from that, right? Like, something like Mass Effect 3, mm-hmm. their multiplayer has a sort of Horde mode, but it's objective-based. Like, you can beat it. There's a sort of, you clear the level, you're done.
Yeah.
Right? Warframe does similar things. You enter a level, there's a bunch of enemies, but you're done, right? So it's like mm-hmm. persistent multiplayer, but you're never actually overwhelmed in that way.
Mm. Yep, that's true. So wait, can I read this thing real quick? Because I think it's just a really good point for the difference between roguelikes. So again, this was this was in John Teddy's article or review of Rogue Legacy
on
where
Gameological.
Yeah, Gameological Society, and he was saying that, you know, some of my most memorable times with the game that is Binding of Isaac have come when I clawed my way back from Death's Door to conquer the depths of Isaac of the Isaac Inferno. Rogue Legacy doesn't quite inspire that same burning desire because its death doesn't feel like true death. When my health is at a low ebb in some forlorn corner of Legacy's castle, my thoughts turn to the next generation. I can't accomplish greatness in this life, I reason, but perhaps I can scrounge enough gold to give a solid start to the next family scion. By resigning myself to mediocrity in the short term, I'm simply taking a different path to greatness. The ruthless nature of Isaac induces heroism, the enduring lineage of Legacy produces heroes.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's such a good... That was an excellent quote.
Yeah, it was... Man, this... I mean, this is, like, in the short list of, like, game writing of the year right here, which is...
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But, I mean, I think he raises the good point of... That you also raise, which is, you know, unless you have something to pass on, like, you are just staving off failure. Like,
yeah.
You're not gonna win.
I think I get enough of that in regular life.
Right? Too true.
Okay. All right, what else do you hate?
Well, we should throw one classic one that we both dislike because for newer listeners who don't know us as well, they should know that we are both major haters on the entire Lego series.
We really are. And it's not just a dislike of them. I think that they're genuinely unethical, poorly designed pieces of crap.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they're cute and everything. And, like, I think, you know, if you were to just watch them as cartoons, it would be a better experience than actually playing them.
Well, you can't, though, because the camera's so god-awful.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true.
I mean, to be fair, I don't think I've played any of the, like, recent LEGO games.
Yeah, I feel like the most recent one I played was probably one of the Batman ones.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know... This is well-worn territory, and it's like, ugh, just the camera perspective makes it platforming just a chore. It's kind of pointless in that you just die over and over again, and nothing, there's no consequences to it except for losing your little bits, and, like, that really doesn't, I don't know. It's not a very compelling thing. Combat is, it's just, it's depressing that this is what type of games are targeting kids.
Yeah, and, you know, this is very much where you and I say, we should not give any game a pass just because kids like it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then we'd have to give every single Kinect game a pass.
That's true. That's a pretty curmudgeonly statement, I think, right there.
Yeah, I think that's
kids
true.
Like this game? Garbage.
Well, I mean, that's the point is kids will rise or fall to your expectations wherever you put them.
Yeah. Well, kids should play other... Yeah, there you go. If you want to play a platformer, play, like, I don't know, Rayman
Legends.
Play
Super Mario Brothers.
Well, maybe not. Wait, yeah. Don't play that. Rayman Legends. Play Rayman.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of things that instill a good
play The Walking Dead. Come on.
Yeah, the kids will get...
You can handle it.
Yeah, they got to make those hard decisions sometime.
Hey, there you go.
Should I say any others, or should we trade off? What should we do?
I can take one.
Okay.
I can... So this is sort of... this is something that I've talked about before, but I don't know. This is a love-hate thing. Does that count?
Yeah, because hate is in there.
Then I would say the entire Pokemon series
is love-hate. Yeah.
And I've mentioned this before, but, like, that is just... Every single time, I think... Like, here, you know what? How about this? Big news, right? Pokemon X and Y. What is the coolest new feature in that game, Scott?
There are 300 new Pokemon that I have no idea what they are.
The coolest thing is you can move diagonally. For the first time in the series,
this is seriously though, this is huge.
Have you not heard of that?
I'm out of the Pokemon game, man.
Dude, yeah, you can move diagonally. How cool is that?
Wait, hold on. Is it still like cardinal direction? I mean, is it still like locked to axes?
It's locked to axes. I'm pretty sure. But at least there's now four more cardinal directions you can go.
Holy crap!
Yeah, north, northeast, northwest. Scott.
It took them what 20 years to do it, but.
Yeah,
by God, they did it.
I think in another decade, we might be able to, like, jump.
Instead of just jumping down.
Yeah, I hate how absolutely archaic and slow and just boring the Pokemon series is. I love it. I mean, I play them. I love collecting all the freaking Pokemon and doing my thing until I get bored. But good God, like, how are we constantly giving the series a pass?
We just love collecting things. Like, it's amazing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's so unethical. Like, I just want to scream it from the mountaintop. Like, what if we need to... Like, if everyone who loved the Pokemon series demanded someone actually do something with the damn series...
Mm-hmm. Ugh. But see, that's the thing. I mean, people who love the Pokemon series, you know, they must like the fundamental conservatism of it because, you know, they would have stopped buying it at a certain point, right?
I don't know if they love it, though. Maybe they just don't care. Like, it just fades into the background. And, well, you know, how many... I could throw a stick out my window and hit someone who can think of a great Pokemon idea.
Mm.
Like, you know, when that game Africa came out, sort of like a photography game, people were saying, "Dear God, someone tell someone to make Pokemon Snap, but in this with the sort of Africa mechanic." Yeah. That would be amazing. You think we'll ever see that? Hell no. The only time you'll see Pokemon Snap again is if somehow they manage to put, like, connect on rails kind of thing. Like, it's not... We're not going to get a good, innovative version of any Pokemon probably ever.
It's like this lifelong, this kind of, or this eternal trudge towards, you know, modernization, except that it's on, like, on a timeline that for every year that passes in the real world, it actually takes Pokemon, like, 5 years to get there.
Oh, yeah. And they've been digging deep into the Pokemon bucket for a while now. Like, how many completely uninspired Pokemon are there that are like, let's make an ice cream cone Pokemon. Oh, fucking perfect.
Oh, man, you have a complicated relationship with Pokemon.
I really do. It's so sad. Like, you should see me. I'm, like, sweating when I go into a store and to buy the next Pokemon game. It's awful.
Maybe we should talk about one or two things that are kind of recent. Like, very recent things that came out that we might have contrarian opinions on.
Sure.
There's one game that I still was never really able to get into, and it kind of faded away, so I feel like I've missed the boat on it already, but Monaco never really clicked with me.
Yeah, that's a shame. I was really hoping you'd like that game.
Yeah, and I played it a few times. I found it very graphically confusing, like in an artistic way, like, you know, is this a door or is this a ladder?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I had the stealth problems of, like, is this really a stealth game or is it more like a Pac-Man game? And I don't know, I just never really landed on it, you know?
Yeah. You know, on that subject, for all of these things, do you ever get to the point where you just go, gosh, I wish I liked this. Like, I want to like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think Monaco is that exact thing because, again, like, it is kind of, it should be squarely in our wheelhouse as kind of the nerdier end of video game culture, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone on my Twitter feed seemed to like it. I mean, people who I talk to seem to like it. Like, it seems set up for success, but
it's because it's awesome, Scott.
I don't know. I just... Did you ever play the whole thing? Like, did you finish it?
Yeah, yeah.
What happens at the end? Like, do you get any more characters besides the redhead, or is that it?
No, it's actually an awesome ending, because when you play it co-op, the very last level... it's everyone turns on each other, and you sort of have to, like, get as much gold as possible and then get to the escape car. And so all four of you people who've, like, been working together suddenly make a mad dash and are shooting each other, and it's amazing.
But haven't you been doing that the whole game, though, because it kind of scores you on your gold consumption?
Well, no, not really, because, I mean, especially if you're trying to play, like, really smart, then, you know, some people you know are going to get more gold, right? If you bring someone with a monkey, right, it's not your job. The gold is a sort of collective.
And then everyone gets credit for it, right?
Right, but everybody gets credit for it. But even if you didn't get extra credit for it, right, you feel like you're part of a team and you're willing to take a cut or whatever.
That's a bummer. I mean, it's a bummer for me because I don't like it. But yes, I kind of want to like it, you know? Like,
you know what? Maybe you come back in a couple of years. Maybe you'll have matured.
But then there will be no one playing it. I feel like it kind of dropped off the face of the planet, too.
Yeah, it did. Like, it dropped. It's because it's played very quickly.
Right. There was a real hot week there for a second, and then I couldn't get into it that week, and then everyone was like, oh, that was great. Now let's play Gunpoint, you know? Yeah.
It's kind of a shame because Andy Schatz has been working on that game for so long.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
There'll be DLC, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know what sort of...
You have a modern thing?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you mind if I, like, open my Steam account real quick? And
open your Steam account and...
Okay. I'm sure I own something that...
I'm sure I own something that I played for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
How about Far Cry 3? When everyone seemed to like Far Cry 3.
Oh, yeah, we could definitely... Yeah, let's count Far Cry 3. Yeah, but you know what? At the same time, the problem is I'm right about that, so... You liked Far Cry 3 a lot, right?
I mean, it's funny. I liked Far Cry 3, but I just liked the act. I didn't like the story or the characters or the setup. I just enjoyed the second-to-second mechanics of it.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is kind of a cop-out, because I feel like there's a lot of parts of that game that are pretty troublesome in terms of racial stuff, in terms of gender dynamics, in terms of, like, ethics of combat. And
For sure.
It's really, like, as the years go on, I have a much harder and harder time of giving games a pass that pretend to be deep but are actually as shallow as a lot of, like, Duke Nukem-style things, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be shallow and immature, like, just be Mortal Kombat, you know?
I've got another one that I've been playing relatively recently. It's a little old.
Okay.
That's all right. It's a Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Oh, that's... Yeah, I mean, that's from a couple of years ago. It's pretty...
Yeah, it's been, like, widely praised. I picked it up on the Steam sale. I played a little over an hour of it, and I just... I don't... It's so hard to get into. The voice acting is awful.
Well,
it's
that was also a pretty, like... You know, there was, like, some weird racist voice acting in that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't even gotten to that point, but the voice acting is... I mean... I'm not one to complain generally with bad voice acting. I think of us two, you're the first to notice.
Yeah.
So if I notice, I think it must be pretty bad. And I looked it up online to see, like, do people agree with me?
Right.
And a lot of people do, so that's a plus. Mm. But I also just, maybe it's the roguelike part of me that hates it, but it's so punishing when you die, and it's such a pain in the ass to go through. And also, like, when you go to cover, it goes from first person to third person. I hate perspective shifts like that.
There's a pretty good YouTube dance compilation of
what?
we'll have to put it in the show notes, but where the guy, they just pull the camera out and then they kind of shift from cover to cover. I think playing Safety Dance.
Awesome.
But going back, I haven't played it, and it was always something that I felt like I would want to play because it had so much praise in it. But what is the actual punishment for death? What do they do?
Oh, it kicks you back to. I mean, I think there's probably checkpoints, but so far, mm-hmm. I mean, again, I've only played a little hour, and I will devote more time, I swear. Mm-hmm. But it kicks you back to the beginning of a level. But, you know, like, you invest so much time being sneaky, reading mm-hmm. the plays of where the enemies are going, and later on you get spotted, you sort of panic, and you get shot down real quick. And maybe it's only the early levels that, because, you know, I'm not evolved yet or whatever. But, good God, it's like, I'm investing all of this time, and the when that happens, right, that moment of frustration, and this is almost a bad thing sometimes when the game loads again too quickly, because it sets me back, I realize where I am, and the idea of doing it all over again is completely unappetizing. So each time I've played, I've been like, okay, I'm going along, I'm being stealthy, oh, I died, I'm just going to turn it off, like, I'll just come back.
Yeah.
And the longer I'm away from it, the less and less likely I want to keep playing that game. On the plus side, it was only $3.
So. it was cheaper than some of those most hated iOS games that we referenced earlier.
Yeah, like, I've bought lattes and, like, thrown them out for, like, twice as much as that fucking...
Yeah, that's true. It's always a good perspective.
Yeah.
All right, well, have we hated on enough things? Should we pull the hate train into the station here?
I think it's about time, yeah. Let's get back to love again.
Well, but I mean, this is like, it's kind of cathartic for us because I tend to want to dwell on the positive things most of the time. And, like, I think it's a skill to be able to complain about something, but also keep things in perspective.
Absolutely. And I think it's helpful to every now and then revisit why you might dislike things.
Yeah. Cause it's like, oh, okay. Maybe I dislike the Sephiroth song because I think Sephiroth is kind of a dumb character.
Right, and tastes change, right? Maybe one day I'll be super into the next, Dark Souls 2? I'll play that.
Dark Souls 2 is coming up.
I'll try it and hate it.
All right, folks. Well, we probably have inspired a fair amount of thoughts for this show, so if you have any questions, comments, you can send them into experiencepoints@gmail.com.
And if you have games that you love to hate, let us know what they are. ExperiencePoints.net. That is the website. Sorry, I hate that URL. Come and pay us a visit. We update Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday evenings. And if you don't hate us, but you love us, you can review us, iTunes, Stitcher, give us some star ratings, helps us find new listeners, all that good stuff.
Yeah, instead of feeding off of hate, we'll just feed off of stars.
Well, hate leads to suffering, Scott.
Oh, God. We didn't even talk about Star Wars. Oh, that's a... Hold on, that's just a whole other show. We can't even...
Didn't we do one recently?
No, we did a Star Wars show already, but there's just so much to complain about when it comes to Star Wars and video games.
Always true.
Well, that'll have to wait till episode 7, and when the inevitable Star Wars episode 7 Lego comes out, maybe we'll have to play it.
Oh, God.
All right, folks. Well, thanks so much for listening. We'll be talking to you next week.
So long. Every time we disagree.